Paul's second letter to Timothy, we find the apostle giving advice to his young disciple, advice on how to conduct his ministry, advice on how to lead the people of God, advice on how to serve as a bishop. Even though he was very young indeed, Paul the apostle was appointing Timothy to be his bishop there in Ephesus, the leader of the church there, and he was giving Timothy advice. This passage has been very important for those who have been called into ministry to give an understanding of what the depth and the nature of the calling is and how difficult it can be, especially when you are young and given a new mission and a new ministry. Sometimes people don't want to follow your leadership, even if you've been properly appointed, properly ordained, properly set aside. Some people despise youth, and Paul's words were encouragement to Timothy that he should take heart because God has indeed called him, and Paul himself had appointed him, and he should carry forward his ministry by the grace of God. Especially at the very ending of the reading today, words that come from the apostle, words that come to us as well as to Timothy, are words that we need to hear. Words that I needed to hear when I was a young, aspiring student just starting out in college. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word explaining here translates a Greek word which means to make straight or to cut in the middle evenly, to divide correctly. And the King James translates this as rightly dividing the word of truth. It was among my first calling scriptures. Early on in college, I was, for a lack of a better phrase, infatuated with the scriptures. They spoke to me loudly, and I was called to study them and to inwardly digest them and to comprehend them and then to turn and to teach them to others. And I enjoy time in Bible studies in college, both learning from others and then finally teaching others myself. And I enjoyed teaching the Bible. I enjoyed leading Bible studies. I had a great charge and a thrill taking the Word of God and opening it so that others might see and hear and know the true beauty of God's calling for their lives, the true beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Indeed, my calling, what I understood to be my calling at that time, was as a teacher of the Word of God, a teacher who would sit in class and teach students, 10, 20, 30 students at a time, the Bible, the Word of God. That was what I thought I was called to do. That is who I thought I was called to be. Hence this passage where it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It spoke to me of my calling. Until one day, when I was in the midst of a Bible study on the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I was using this Bible, this very Bible right here. It's a King James with wide margins. It had been given to me by my parents. And as you can see, pages of it are covered with notes, highlighting, underlining, page after page after page, as I studied the Word and inwardly digested the Word. I marked up the Word with alternate translations and thoughts and ideas. And as I was reading through Ephesians chapter 2 with the study leader, and we turned the page into chapter 3, my eyes scanned down the page, and two verses fluoresced as if they had been already highlighted with a neon highlighter. They blinked. Pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, look at me, read me, come to me. I hadn't touched them, I hadn't highlighted them, but in my soul, They were screaming for attention. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul writes, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And it's like someone, it's like God, it's like the Holy Spirit had slapped me across the face. This is for me? I even wrote it in my margin. For me? Question mark. I had never thought of myself as a minister. Teacher? Yes. Professor? Hopefully. Minister? Nuh-uh. The Greek word being translated minister is diakonoi. Servant. Diakonos. Servant. Deacon. A minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Well, I knew God was going to need to bestow upon me a whole lot more grace to become a minister. I knew I couldn't possibly be a minister. I knew the things that I had done. There's no way I could be a minister. God wouldn't call me to be a minister. Teacher, yes. Professor, hopefully. Minister? Oh, no, can't possibly be. According to the gift of the grace, the unmerited, unearned favor of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It's going to take an awful lot of effectual working of your power, God, to make me into a minister. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? Oh boy, is that ever true. If that was true of Paul, it's certainly true of me. I'm no saint. I'm a sinner. And I knew it. I was the kind of sinner who used to take revel in saying, "I was sinking deep in sin. Whoopee!" I was no saint. I couldn't possibly be a minister. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach. And right there, I slam my Bible shut. Preach! I could get up in front of 10, 20, 30 people and teach. I could sit at a table with 10 or so and teach. I could stand in a classroom before maybe 30 people and teach a class. I was teaching. It was something I knew how to do. And I could do it with clarity. Even at 19 and 20 and 21, I could do it. But preaching is something very different. And when I would get up to do public speaking in front of people, I was terrified. And I stuttered. When I'd have to stand up in front of people and speak lines like from a play or preach a sermon or give a lecture, I was terrified. Indeed, today, to this day, when I'm tired, unsure of myself, or if the bishop were sitting out there, and I open my mouth, I find myself starting to stutter. I was trying to address it by taking classes in drama and speech and voice at school. I played the lead role in The Jungle Book, or one of the lead roles, Baloo. I played Dr. Pickering in My Fair Lady. That was an easy role. All you did was sit around, drink port, and say, "Oh, my, by George, that's a good idea." That's all you did for the whole play. And you had one song. It was easy. And I played Harold Hill's sidekick in The Music Man, Lucius. The one played by Buddy, whatever his name was. Yeah. Yes, Buddy Hackett. I took classes in speech and voice and drama because I was terrified of being in front of people. And I did stutter terribly. So preach. Preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Be a minister and preach the gospel. Are you kidding me? Teach? Yes. Professor? Absolutely. Preacher? I can't be a preacher. I stutter. I'm a sinner. I like to have fun. Now, you can't be a preacher if you do those things, can you? Certainly can't have fun. But this passage kept bouncing off that page. I'd reopen the Bible, it slapped me again. I finally took out my pen and I started to underline the words. Started reading and researching what it meant to be a minister. Reading and researching what God's grace could do in one's life. Started reading and researching what it meant to preach, to proclaim, to profess, to be a prophet, to carry forth the prophetic ministry of the church. And even though I'd only been a United Methodist for about 6 months in 1987, I went before my pastor and then appeared before my district superintendent to declare myself a candidate for ordained ministry. And within another 6 months, I was indeed certified as a candidate. Well, I was also certifiable, but certified as a candidate. Yes, I was certifiably nuts. Yeah, I didn't need an amen there. I was certifiably crazy because I had been certified to become a minister. Nuts, crazy, insane. But every time I tried to tell God no, the word kept opening to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The word would open also to 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 19. The word would keep opening to me. The word would keep opening to me and teaching me, rightly dividing within me the calling that God was having on my life. I went off to seminary, to Duke, a good place to get your educational background, your foundation work, for both a teacher and a preacher. And the first day in ministry class, the professor opened up Ephesians chapter 3, told us to turn there, and I turned in this Bible there, and I saw my little underlining there, verses 7 through 8, and a little note out beside this, for me, question mark. And all the little work I'd done on all those words, like minister and grace and preach. But only now, verse 9 was highlighted, not by me, but by God. Verse 9 was highlighted, was fluorescing for attention. And as the professor sat up there and went, wah, 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 I read, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Ooh, that scared me. That scared me. It frightened me. It took my breath away. Because that word, mystery, in Greek, the word is mysterion. We get the word mystery from it. It means those holy things that are beyond our comprehension, those holy things that we know are true, but are beyond our ability to explicate, to understand, to rightly divide. But we can experience them. But then my Latin caught up with me. My high school Latin caught up with me because in Latin, in the Vulgate, instead of mysterion, is translated here sacramentum. Sacrament. Took my breath away again. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the mysterion, the sacramentum, the sacrament, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And I sat back in my chair, and I found tears running down my cheeks as I realized that the calling that I had received, like most callings, it's progressive from stage to stage to stage. Earlier on, I understood that I was called to teach the Word, which meant I had a great thirst for the Word, and I studied the Word, and I learned how to explain the Word of God. And then it was expanded to preach the Word, proclaim the Word prophetically, so that others might hear and come to believe, not just teach, but proclaim prophetically. And now, sitting in my first ministry class in seminary, the third component came out of the same passage. Quite literally, to share with all people and help them see and comprehend what is the true nature of the sacrament, the mystery, from which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The church proclaims that Jesus is the true eternal sacrament, mysterion sacramentum of God, that Jesus Christ is the source of all grace, all peace, all forgiveness, all salvation. Jesus Christ is the source of all grace, the true and only eternal, everlasting, non-ceasing, unmitigated means of grace. And we experience the Word of God, incarnate in human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, incarnate in words and paper of human beings in the Bible, and incarnate in bread and wine and the sacrament of Holy Communion. My calling was to teach the Word, to proclaim the Word prophetically, and to celebrate the sacramentum, the mysterion, the mystery, the Holy Eucharist, the sacraments of God, to share the love and the grace of God with all. The true ministry of any minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is one of word and table, word and sacrament, word proclaiming the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sacrament sharing physically, spiritually, the grace of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the sacramental means of grace. Step after step, point after point, time after time, God confirmed His calling for my life through this passage from Ephesians and through the reading from 2 Timothy. Bishop McKee has asked that the clergy in the North Texas Conference in the months of September and October to preach about their calling, to share with their people anew and afresh the calling that God has on their lives, how God led them into ministry, how God inspired them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, how God led them into the ministry. I have never shared here with you until today the steps from Scripture, the steps in my life, of the calling of Jesus on my life. I've had you ask me time and again, teaching is important to you. Yes, it is. Why don't you become a professor? I've tried many times. Since I graduated with my doctorate in 1994, 19 years ago, I've tried a bunch of times. I've applied to various schools to teach. Sometimes I don't even hear back from them. Sometimes I get past the first round of interviews. Sometimes I go back for the second round of interviews, and I'm one of the final three that they've called in to meet again. And each time, God had something different planned. I had offers to go and teach in the Philippines. That really wasn't the right place and the right time for me. There are opportunities that exist right now for me within the United Methodist Church. But my sisters and brothers, as much as God has called me to teach, God has also called me to preach And God has called me to share, to celebrate the Eucharist, the sacraments of God, in the family of faith. I'm called to serve as the pastor of a church. Today and tomorrow and for the next years, I hope, as your pastor. And I praise God for the privilege and the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of you, to share by teaching and preaching and the sacrament, to share with you the love and the grace of God. And I praise God for each and every one of you and your commitment to hearing and receiving the gospel and living the gospel and sharing the gospel with others as true disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege of serving as your pastor. Thank you for the joy of serving among you in ministry. Thank you for the joy of being with you to preside at the mysteries of God's grace and to share with you today and always the wonderful gift of the real presence of Jesus Christ our Lord, truly the great mystery that has been hidden in God from the foundation of the world, created by Jesus Christ himself. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.